Eso me parece work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the cafe, my tart, 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 tart. Drive me a dessert. Hello and welcome to WitWorks Radio. My name is Kristen Ekman. I am the operations coordinator from the Co-ops and Careers office on campus. And I'm here today with two fellow colleagues that I am going to let introduce themselves, and then I will give you a brief intro to the topic that we're going to discuss today.
Hi, this is Jared Germa. I'm the co-op advisor for architecture and interior design.
And I'm Sean Stewart. I am an associate professor in the College of Architecture, Design, and Construction Management.
And we are on the show today to speak directly to first-year students and how might they best prepare and start thinking about co-op.
So what we want to touch on today is, I know that many of our students, when asked, have chosen to be part of the Wentworth community based on the role of cooperative education in their college education, their college experience. And one of the things that is always brought to us is that the first optional co-op for most majors doesn't happen until summer of sophomore year. And the required co-ops are after that, except for architecture, which is in spring of sophomore year. But freshman year and freshman summer, there's a lot of things that might happen to help get ready for the co-op experience. So we wanted to talk about different ideas about what students might be thinking about and doing and who they might be reaching out to. So Sean, from your perspective.
Well, I'm a product of a co-op university. I didn't graduate from Wentworth, but the school I went to also had a very successful co-op program. So I learned as a student through the co-op program. I was an employer for many years before I became a professor. I have my own architecture firm here in Boston, and I regularly hired co-op students from a variety of schools. So I am a firm believer in co-op as a foundation of a solid education.
And Sean, can I ask you a question? From the employer standpoint, when you were looking at hiring students, what were you looking for on their resume, in their background?
I looked mostly, I really enjoy, because I'm an architect, portfolios are always a big piece of the interview. And I look for the opportunity to see that a student can think with their hands, can think visually, can get ideas out, and not just sort of the checklist of they've taken the following courses, but really looking for some evidence in the portfolio and in the interview too, but portfolios were often first, that this student really has the ability to think on their feet a little bit. I had a small firm, and you had to think on your feet. It wasn't the kind of job where you just came in and did the same thing for all 120 days that you were on your co-op. You were doing different things every day. So
many of our students, their first way of exposing themselves to an employer is through resume and cover letter. What kind of activities did you look for, or employment did you look for, that might tell you this is someone I should meet?
Well, couple of different ways to look at that. I remember in college having the friends who we called the resume rats that were in every possible organization so that they could put that on their resume. And I think that you can see through that, especially once you start to correspond with the person, whether it's through email or a phone conversation or where they come in. So what I really look for would be somebody who has taken a stake in what they're doing. So they're involved in an organization and they've done something with it. They didn't just attend the meetings or whatever it is. They did something to get involved, to help make it better, to really, you know, take it on like it was work.
And get that expressed into the document that's not just a laundry list of here's the 15 organizations that I'm deeply involved in.
Yeah, you know? I guess it's tough.
Here's three and here's the role I play.
Yeah, and I think you could, I think, unfortunately, I think those are the things that can be faked a little bit too. and some people will slide through on that. But yeah, if you're part of something and you're an officer in it and you can point to a project that you did or an event that you put on for that organization, that shows that you actually did do something.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. The question that comes up a lot when we're talking about how to locate employers is the network. Just from your vantage point, what suggestions do you have for students that are starting out in their educations for building a network?
Well, school is the first place. You're here. You're here for 9 months of the year. There's lots of opportunities for networking, whether it's professional organizations that come to campus, the organizations you're in on campus. But you also have things like career day activities, or ABX is a thing that architects and construction managers and interior designers know a lot about. It's a professional conference that happens every year, and Wentworth has a big alumni event at that. The Wentworth alumni is probably the best network that you could develop. And then tapping the resources of people you meet through field trips and whatnot. Use your professors. They're all, one of the things about professors at Wentworth is that most of them came to their positions after a successful career in practice. And they're here to help you. They want to see you be successful, and they're a big part of your network, and they can make your network grow and grow and grow. So,
and that same idea, one of the things that I think is very important for first-year students to recognize, that the relationship between a college student and a professor can be very different than an instructor-teacher relationship with a student earlier on. That you're really attempting to learn and enter their field. And though there is a hierarchy, it is still a peer type relationship that you want to develop. So, you know, I think it's very important to engage and develop that network with professors in a way that is slightly different than how we might have approached things with teachers and coaches and so forth earlier in education. Because that role, especially as you move forward, these professors become advocates for you. And in many ways, there's a lot of students that end up working for their professors somewhere down the road, because it's an opportunity that you have to prove yourself to someone that is both in the academic field and also in the professional field. So that's great. So one thing that I've had a lot of students ask me about, how to utilize the summer of freshman year. What sort of ideas do you have that students might contemplate really taking that time for themselves, but making it worthwhile for their pursuits later?
Well, I think that getting involved in your profession, doing your optional co-op is usually the next year. But I don't think, is there any restriction that a student couldn't do one? There is.
Yeah, the official optional in all majors except for architecture lands in sophomore summer.
Yeah.
But that first year, what we talk about from the co-op office is finding an internship,
getting involved somehow.
Getting involved, getting a job. I mean, many of these things are different from co-op only in name.
Right.
But it is, if you have the connections and you have the abilities to get out there and work in your field of study, that we have students that come to Wentworth that have already interned as high schoolers.
Yeah.
In the area that they're studying.
I've had lots of people who are the children of friends or something like that, who as high schoolers, they might shadow me for a day here or a day there. Or that summer, the summer after freshman year, that's a good opportunity to get a job where you're going to make some money at whatever it was you did in high school or whatever. But if you can spare a day a week or a couple of days in a block, there might be an opportunity for you to get some familiarity with what it's like to be in the profession. And then that adds to your resume, too. You can put that on there and you start your optional co-op with a little bit of experience.
Now, when you were hiring co-op students, when you were working in the field, obviously some of the students may have been hired without having any design experience. What kind of things were you looking on their resumes professionally for?
I was looking for skills. I was looking to see that they knew how to draw, they knew the particular software. Sometimes it was an issue, sometimes it wasn't an issue if a person really expressed a lot of talent but wasn't familiar with the software. We would often train them for that. It was relatively easy at that time, and students picked that stuff up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I used a software that wasn't as common as some others, so not everybody that came to work for me had that experience. The ability to think, some really basic skills. They know what a plan, section, elevation. These are architecture things, but they've learned what they're supposed to learn. Their curriculum here at Wentworth is, for the most part, really set up to support them starting co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they've done a reasonable job, I can't recall an occasion where I asked anybody their GPA. I don't recall ever doing that.
Yeah.
But you could get an impression if they knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. and knew what it was that we were going to be dealing with in the office. And also personality. Just, is it somebody we want to have around?
Yeah.
For that long? Are they pleasant? Are they, if I get them involved in a conversation with a client, is it going to go well?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be a disaster? So those are really, people skills are really important.
Because one of the things that we advise students about is having some work or volunteer work that's on there that can show that you have some customer relation skills.
Good idea.
Possibly service skills. I had a friend that used to always say he worked in public relations, he would only hire people that had some restaurant experience because he felt that was the epitome of customer service and the epitome of working on deadline. Mm-hmm. And he always felt that when he hired people that didn't have any restaurant experience, he could tell, which was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a thing. What's your thought about the kind of experiences outside of work that you might want to show? Travel, exposure to an involvement in sports, etc. What kind of things did you look for? I know everyone looks a little bit differently, but as you said, you're hiring the person too.
Yeah.
What kind of things did you enjoy seeing for extracurriculars, or was there any go-to in that or not?
I don't think so. I think athletic experience is a good thing because you're learning to work with a team, and I was an athlete when I was young. But, you know, not everybody's equipped for that.
Yeah.
And not everybody's going to have that same kind of experience. So that certainly wouldn't be a make or break experience for me. But I can't think of anybody that ever came to work with me that had no work experience.
Yeah.
You got to have something. You got to know what it's like to get up in the morning and get to a place on time and work the hours that you need to work, and know that it's not... it's not babysitting. It's not a privilege. It's work. You know?
And I think that's it's a funny situation because I know, having advised here for 5 years, there are students that will be going out for their first co-op without any work experience at all on a resume. And what's interesting is how to explain that.
Yeah.
And we had a student a few years back that she came sort of panicked. Well, part of the reason she'd never worked was she was a very competitive athlete, and there had not been time for her to have jobs.
Yeah.
And we found a way for that to get expressed in her talk about school projects and talk about her skill set and her involvement in school. And she was able to successfully land a job.
Yeah.
But I think it's very important to come up with what has been occupying your time.
Yeah.
That work hasn't when you're an emerging professional. The thing that I always comment to freshman students, and I very often, when I have the ear of parents of new college students, is the desire as a parent to be able to help. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I try to get parents to think about is not overstepping, allowing the student to do the heavy lifting. But I do remind parents that the network that they have is of a very different scale based on how many years they've been on the planet than what their students may have. And I like to encourage students to definitely look at who do your parents know and who were your friends' parents and who did they know. Freshman year is an incredible time to return home and reintroduce yourself to the families that you've known your whole life as an academic, and let them know what you're studying and let them know what you're interested in. Find out who they might know that you can talk to. There's nothing that makes you feel better as a parent than to help your friends' kids. It's a really great experience when you can connect. Did you have any experiences with, sort of looping back to that whole networking thing, how as a professor and as a professional, were you able to engage students in networking?
So I have two grown kids, one of whom is a Wentworth graduate. The other went to another school here in Boston. And, you know, their friends were around our house all the time growing up. And there were, I can think of four or five of them that spent a day with me or did something with me or worked with me on a short little project or something like that because they had an interest in architecture. And I don't think any of them actually went on to
day with Sean to become, took care of that.
To become practitioners. But you know, I was always happy. I remember my daughter sitting at the table and going, "Dad, my friend Matt wants to hang out with you at your office someday. Can you do that?" And she was so nervous about asking. I was like, "Yeah, of course you can. Yeah. You know, tell him to come on in. Tell me what day he wants to come in, and he can come in." My wife did the same thing. My wife is a photographer. And did the same thing with a bunch of, she always needed assistance on shoots. Mm-hmm. And some of the assistants were our kids' friends who were interested in photography. And they'd come and they'd spend a day working their butts off on the photo shoot with her. And a couple of them actually, I guess she's got a higher success
rate than you.
A couple of them did move on. Of my students that worked for me at co-op, though, I keep in very close touch with a handful of them, and they're all doing great in their careers.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of that, and they reach out to me when they have sort of big accomplishments to share, and I feel like, you know, I had something to do with getting them started in that.
One of the things that I always find interesting when I talk to young students that have done their first co-op and then they come up on their second co-op, and a few semesters have passed between the two co-ops, and there I have so many times had people say, "Well, I don't even know if they'll remember me." Mm-hmm. And what they don't fully realize is they're living in a moment that's changing constantly. Every semester is new challenges. And when they have worked at a job, to go back 9 months later, you'll be lucky if there's a new bottle of soap in the kitchen. You know, things don't change at the same rate.
Yeah.
So it's always a great thing to, I'll try to really encourage students to keep those contacts up. Mm-hmm. But not worry that if a year has passed, and you haven't talked to someone, that it's an embarrassment to go back and talk to them. I mean, these engagements, and that's why I sort of talk about your friends, parents, people you might know through clubs, organizations, religious affiliation, whatever. These are long-term engagements, and it's amazing because you're talking, you know, our photography and architecture, But I know, like, when my brother went to do student teaching, he went back to my dad's high school and student taught for a teacher that we had known as children. You know, these ties are super important. And how many of us look at the jobs that we've had and how we found them, and many of them have to do with who we knew, not what we knew. We needed the knowledge, but the actual link in had to do much more. I just used a brand name. But that connection was something that was structured from something else.
I think, though, it's important to keep in mind, too, though, that I totally agree that who you know and keeping those connections alive is incredibly important. But I wouldn't want anyone to think that that's more important than what you know, which, you know, those people are perfectly clear. I mean, it comes out in the wash very quickly that,
well, but
if you're there just because.
Because daddy knows someone is a very different situation, but you can know an awful lot, but if you live in a vacuum, that isn't going to get you where you need to be. You know, it's definitely that combination.
I agree. There's, I know that when it comes, you know, career time and students are getting ready to graduate and they're looking for their first positions, and they've done two co-ops, maybe they've done three because they did the optional co-op as well. And they'll say, oh, I don't know who to apply to. Or I'll say, hey, are you applying to, you know, that firm that you did your first co-op with? And they'll be like, oh, I haven't been in touch with them. I'd be too embarrassed to apply now. I'm like, what? They didn't, you know, they don't know you didn't go back for your second co-op. Yeah. You should definitely follow through. You have to keep up with those people. And the other piece of that is that people that you might have been there co-oping with, a year has gone by or a year and a half has gone by, and they may have moved on to other places, and that broadens your network even more.
Absolutely. So. No, it's a funny thing. I enjoy looking back at the way a path comes together.
Yeah.
Building a resume can be very interesting at any point because you sort of see the patterns and you see, you know, you get to remember what those connections are. So I'm gonna turn the question to Kristen because she has co-opted, interned more recently. What did you do in college in preparation for getting your first intern type position?
Yeah, well, of course, I will plug. I graduated my undergrad right down the street from Emmanuel College. So they have a similar online job board to our Witworks. So I would look on there. I was constantly checking. We didn't have a required co-op internship semester, but it was an elective class. And for my major specifically, I was business management. So it was highly encouraged. Of course, we were hearing from our counselors, advisors, professors, get some sort of experience in your industry. So I was always looking for that. I ended up with three internships. My last one actually landed me in the start of what is my role now.
I can't imagine why I ask you that question, huh?
So I actually, my last internship was my fourth year, my senior year. I was the marketing intern for the Co-ops and Careers office. I found that actually through my management professor. I was not really planning on going, completing an internship. I had my capstone. I really wanted to focus on that. But I had a really close relationship with, she was actually the department chair, recommended me to get involved in certain organizations that she saw I would be a fit for. And we did have a close relationship because I would go to her. I was in a lot of her classes. And I was very open, and I saw her as a resource and someone to go to and ask for, okay, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. So then she recommended that I get some more experience. You know, it never hurt. I didn't really want to take any more classes at that point.
There you go.
Kind of done. but I was really in the mindset for looking for a full-time job, and I didn't. That was very intimidating at that point because that was new. And what I had done too, I was working in a part-time role for all of my internships. So I did not have the co-op experience, which I think is a definite advantage to be working in a full-time position in that sort of setting, getting more, maybe more fully immersed than a part-time internship. But still, so I like to ask a lot of questions. Again, I think, like both of you have mentioned, really kind of focusing on your interests. And
I mean, you're an excellent example as to why such a high percentage of our students that go out on co-op get a full-time offer out of one or both of their jobs.
Sure.
Because it is the world's longest interview. Yeah. You know, you're out there.
It's great way to test the waters for both of you.
The employer and
the employee. Yeah. So.
And there's a lot of employers that come to the co-op program really to find and to nurture and train people that can get in the pipeline for being the type of workers that they really want.
And I would even share a little bit more too. Like you mentioned, Sean, to your children's friends that would come and shadow you and your wife, they sometimes didn't end up in that industry.
Nope.
And I, from my first two internship experiences, I knew I didn't want to go down that road. So it really is kind of sometimes just starting somewhere. If you do have an idea, I knew I liked marketing, but I didn't know what type of marketing. Yeah. So there was so many different paths to go down.
And I think that honing of what the experience you have on a specific internship, I'm always very concerned of students that have get into a work environment that's not pleasing to them, and they don't necessarily know how to process, is this the profession or is this the environment?
Right.
And I mean, it is something that I try to talk to students about, because one semester working in a firm or a company that's not a good fit doesn't mean that the profession itself isn't a good fit. And how to explore further from that. It's like, do you look at a different environment that's structured differently, or a different piece of the profession, or something that's related to the profession, and how do you process these things? And you know, the great part about it is it's an endless process. It's not something that ends, you know, as a sophomore or a junior. It's something that can be happening throughout your career as you take career turns and so forth.
I think to that point, you know, students who don't participate in a co-op program and don't have lots of internship opportunities, they're 22 years old when they graduate and they go out and they start their careers, and they may find that it wasn't a good match.
Yeah.
And co-op is an opportunity again to test those waters. When students come to me, I'm sure this happens with you too. And they say, oh, it wasn't a great experience, or oh, the person I worked for was kind of a jerk, or whatever it was. I almost always advise students right from the start, you know, it's got to be a pretty exceptional situation if you think you should go back to that same firm the second and the third time.
Mm-hmm.
Go try something new, because you just don't know yet. You have no idea whether you like big firms, small firms, firms that do one type of work, firms that do another type of work. This is an opportunity. It's like a freebie opportunity to check that out and get paid for it in the process.
And as you said, it's really about that fit and balancing, do I want exposure to a different environment, or have I been given a certain level of experience that I'm building upon? And if I stay in this firm, that next level of experience is going to be the next step. And, you know, so it's always a very personal choice on the part of the student. Because if they did have an exceptional experience, the ability to take it to the next level, you know, I always make the comment that, you know, everything is sort of a wedge. And when you start in any new environment, everything is foreign. You're learning how every process works and what everyone's name is and where everything is stored and so forth. So there's a learning curve at the beginning. Well, if you're returning to a place that you know all of that, you can really hit the ground differently. So yeah, there's no right or wrong. Well, there's sometimes.
Where are you from, Kristen?
I'm from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
From
actually.
Plymouth, okay.
South Shore.
Most students at Wentworth are from what we say it's a 60-mile radius. I think is 80% of the students are from mm-hmm. close by. I went to a big state school out in the Midwest, and it wasn't a city that had so many jobs for the students for co-op, so you kind of had to go someplace with your co-op. And that's one of the other things I encourage a student who has any kind of adventurous sense is go get a co-op job someplace else. Don't just live in the dorms at Wentworth and take the subway into downtown every day. You're really not expanding that experience to be real. You're kind of living in high school with ashtrays sort of a thing if you do that. You know, it's not a full immersion experience.
So yeah,
if you're interested, if you think you might want to go to the West Coast after you graduate and live, try it while you're on co-op.
Yeah, and figuring that out. I mean, we do work with students that are interested in travel, and it does make it a little more complex because you're trying to figure out the housing piece of it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always try, back to networking, an aunt and uncle, a family friend that lives somewhere else in the country that may have a spare room that you can borrow or rent can make a huge difference. I had a student about 4 years ago who was set on going to California and was talking to her grandmother, and her grandmother said, oh, you know, your grandpa has a sister that's out there. And it was a great aunt she had never met.
Yeah.
And she started corresponding and calling this woman. And she and her husband took her in, and she moved to Carmel, California, or Monterey. Carmel or Monterey, I don't remember. And had this phenomenal experience that really launched it. But it was, she really, I think being bold and being brave for a semester is much easier than making that kind of permanent move, because it is a timeline. You can look at it. And
you only have to bring one suitcase with you.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you need.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the same, you know, I'm always a huge advocate if you can manage it to do study abroad when you're at this campus, because the opportunity to go work in another country is far more difficult than the opportunity to go study in another country.
Yeah.
And that opportunity to live outside the U.S. is just a golden opportunity.
Absolutely,
Well, Sean, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure. This is fun. Thank you.
Kristen, do you have any closing comments?
I do have some updates. We have a lot of events coming up shortly in the next 2 weeks. Actually, next week, starting on, I want to say, around midweek, we're going to actually kick it off next week on the radio. We're going to be speaking with career fair sponsors. We're going to help you out, kick off your prep for career fair with some tips and tricks on how best to prepare. So tune in next week, Tuesday, 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Wire. We will also be holding the How to Work the Fair employer panel again. We're inviting employer panelists to give you some tips in person. So that's your chance before the fair to ask those last minute questions. That will be on the Monday before the fair, which is on October 2nd. So about 2 weeks from now. So you have a little bit of time to get your thinking about your resume. And we do have all day resumes. Which in our office, in the library, check out the schedules all over campus. They will be on the campus screens in flyer form, in A-frame form, or stop into our office if you want to know some more details about that and how to register for these events. But we are very excited to help you prepare for them.
Awesome. And one thing before we sign off, Co-ops and Careers and myself personally wants to wish Kathy Pober a very happy birthday today.
And thank you for listening, Kathy, and everyone else. Have a great day.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.